subject for today's message. The calling of Moses. And where there's Moses, you can put your name. Well, because God will call all of us if we would just tune our radio to his station. He will call you. In this passage of scripture that we read in your hearing, beginning in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is an old man. The setting in this text is that Moses had been born and was born in slavery. But he got put in an ark that went down the Nile a little ways. His sister standing over there watching him, for he was born in slavery of the tribe of Levites. And there was a law out. The Pharaoh that was in charge knew not Joseph. And Moses was born in slavery. When you get to doing too well, the devil will step in and put something to seem like it's going to hamper you and stop you from doing what God would have you to do. But sometimes stuff that we think will hinder us, it will not hinder us, it will help us. It will become fertilized to help us to get to the place where we need to be. I just believe that God, and I know this, as I know that I'm alive, he knew what he was doing when he sent them down into Egypt. Because sometimes, if you're going to do what God would have you to do, you need to be at a place where nobody don't know who you are and what your destiny is. God hid them. The Hebrew language, brothers and sisters, had to be a language that was kept and kept and only them could speak it. So God had to isolate them and keep them to himself for a while so they could see the importance of family. I don't want you to miss that word. The importance of family. Sometimes you need to just be with those people that you are intimately connected to. Don't need to be with everybody. This was the setting that this passage comes out of. Moses was born in Egypt. But here this passage is, he is in Midian. Had done something contrary to the will of God. The scripture doesn't tell us when he found out that he was a Jew. But he knew he was a Jew. And he went out one day and saw a taskmaster mistreating a slave. And it irritated him because he knew that he was one of them. And he killed the Egyptian and looked to the right and looked to the left and looked to the north and looked to the south, and nobody was around. Help me, Holy Ghost. And he buried him in the sand. Went on back and thought everything was all right. Come out the next day, saw two Jews striving with one another. And he goes over and tries to stop him. And the one that was wrong didn't want him to stop him and said, what you going to do? You going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? Now, if you go to Charleston Heston's of the Ten Commandments, you're going to see where Pharaoh carried Moses way out and disbanded him. But when you read the word of God, Moses left because if Pharaoh would have heard about him killing an Egyptian, Moses would have been dead. So Moses got out of town. Brothers and sisters, when you're doing the will of God, sometimes you got to run. Sometimes you got to leave the day to fight another day. It's not the best to fight everything every time it comes up. Moses had gotten away, he thought. Went off out there in Midian. Met up with a man called Jethro. Married his daughter and was living out in Midian. Living a life of a shepherd. The Egyptians didn't care anything at all about being a shepherd because they had a certain aroma about them. They were by shepherds like in the when you watch John Wayne and all the westerns, they did not like sheep herders. I said they must have been Egyptians. But they did not like them, and here Moses is now. Out there in Midian and is a shepherd. He was out there having a good time, living the life that he thought he was going to live forever. But then something happened, and everything don't have to happen when you're 20 and 25. Some good things can happen in your life after you turn 75 or 80. Moses was 80 years old, out there tending sheep. The people in Egypt were in misery. Moses was out there in Midian doing what he thought was his own thing. But then he took y'all and he saw something. And God called him when he was 80 years old. And he didn't call him when he was in his heyday. He called him when he had matured. And got some sense. See, just because you are young and have a whole lot of energy, it don't mean you are mature. Nobody likes to eat a prune before it gets ripe. Or even an apple when it's green. Unless it's a granny. Them green ones that they're ripe when they're green. But see, sometimes you gotta hang around and stay on the bush. Moses was out there tending sheep. Then he looks up and he saw this bush burning. And I just believe it was something that he had seen before. But this one was a little bit different. But bushes he had seen before that would turn up and start burning soon burned up and was consumed. But I just believe, let me use my imagination, what I've been telling myself all this week. Moses was herding his sheep and had them there, and he was walking along, taking them to a different path, and he looked up and he saw that bush, and he kept walking. He said, well, it'll be burnt up after a while. Walked about 10 or 15 more minutes, and the flame was as big then as it was before. See, God will do things, help the Holy Ghost. To get your attention. And it won't have to always be something that you have never seen before. It can be the same song. It can be the same message. It can be the same whatever. But God will get your attention. And that's what he did for Moses. The bush wouldn't burn up. And Moses said, I better turn aside and see what this is. Then when he got there, God spoke to him out of the bush. Then Moses had questions for God. And don't you think hard of Moses because he questioned God. Because if I could get in your mind and you could get in mine, we would all have questions for him, especially when things do not seem to be going right in our lives. Point number one. God called Moses when his schedule was full. Can't call some of us because we don't have anything. to do. Moses was out there tending sheep, doing what he was supposed to be doing, the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. And that's a lot different from the way he had grown up, living in the house of Pharaoh. There's a movie out that's made about this. It's called Prince of Egypt. And it shows a scene there where Moses and his little brother, or whatever he was to him in the movie that they was making, they were spoiled brats. Because they had everything that they thought that they would need, and everybody had to knuckle under to them because they were Pharaoh's children. Moses had grown up not wanting or needing anything. But here he is now. See, where you start out does not mean that you have to end up there. Moses started out in the house of Pharaoh, and if he would not have left Pharaoh when he did, he would have been dead. He had grown up with everything that he needed, and here he is now, shepherding sheep. Had never done that before until he got out there. See, when God get ready to use you and you allow him to use you, he'll put you in position where you will do what he needs for you to do. I don't believe Moses ever thought about being a shepherd. But see, when you listen to God and you answer the call of God, God does not have you to do anything if you're working and living for him that is not preparation to help you to do something else later on for God. No matter how insignificant it may seem, if you are working for God and you're on his payroll, you'll get paid for what you do. And what you do will be prosperous toward the kingdom of God. He'd had a life of ease living in Pharaoh's house. Imagine now, here he is, a shepherd, having to leave home early in the morning, not going back home at night, taking everything you're going to need with you. I remember old man Will Henry, who's my granddaddy. I used to see him going fishing, and he had a little sack with a strap. He put it across it, and everything he needed to fish with was in that sack. Bait, hooks, lead and weight, can of sardines and some crackers or whatever else he was going to put in that. It was all in that sack. That's the way a shepherd had to leave home. And he also had his rod with him. Here he is now, out here now, living in the wild, camping out, sleeping in the greatest place that you could sleep in. The heaven is your cover. The earth is your bed. The Holy Spirit is your pillow. And God is your comforter. Where else could you find all of this if you're not working for him? It cannot be found. Working as a shepherd, and this is where God found him and called him, when he was working as a shepherd. And wasn't even working for himself, working for his father-in-law. See, God will call you at some weird time and have you to do some things that you had not thought that you would want to do. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Does your schedule seem to be too full? You don't have anything else. You don't have any place to put anything else. I can tell you God's getting you ready to do something there for him that you did not think that you were going to do. Soon as I get off work, somebody calling me to do something. I got something else I need to do. Some of us think that we need to put sidebars on our truck and on our lives so we can keep the stuff in there. Keep letting God use you, but make sure that what you're doing is for God. Those people that don't have anything, don't have any more time in your schedule, you are the ones that God's calling. Because people that don't have time to do anything else, they'll do what God have called them to do. And just seem like to me, when you're doing the will of God, whatever it is, he just seemed to make just a little more time. Amen. And give you a little more energy to do what he needs for you to do. That's why sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's hard to find people that will do something, because they're always busy. But if you give them something else to do and it's for God, guess what? I don't have time, but I'll find time. See, when you're doing what God would have you to do, some of the stuff that I have on my schedule, God don't want me to do it. Because he'll send something else for you to do. Like you want to stay at home and lay in the bed. It's real cool this morning, not too hot. Get up. Yeah, put something else on that schedule. Get here at 9:15. God will have something for you to do, but he's calling you because it seems like you don't have time. But where is time? Who's in control of time? God is. Those people that don't have time are the ones that God is constantly calling. God seems to always call you when you're busy doing something else. Moses was minding his own business, had gotten out there and made a new life for himself, had gotten him a family and was taking care of his family and doing what son-in-laws do. If your father-in-law has possession of something, you work and you help him because he's already established. And God was calling Moses when he was busy. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So he departed thence and found Elijah, that's S-H-A, the son of the Shiphite, and who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12 of Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. This man was busy doing something, have 12 oxen there plowing, doing what he need to do, and the prophet passed by. All them other people, I believe, that might have been sitting down there under the tree, he just kept walking right on by them. And then when he got down there and found a man that was busy plowing in the field, he cast his mantle upon him. The man left his mantle, come back, killed the oxen, and used the plows to make a sacrifice, and followed him until the angel took him up from here. See, God, if you think that you're too busy for God, you're not worth anything. If you what you're doing, you got time to add God to your schedule, then God can use you. This is the call of Moses. God does not call lazy people. Lazy people cannot work in the kingdom of God, because they will be lazy there as well. You got to be somebody that's on the move for God. And when God gets in your life, he'll make you move. Elijah followed Elijah, and he told him, he said, what can I bless you with? He said, if you give me a double portion of what you have. When you read the scripture, J.H.A. had 14 miracles, and S.H.A. did, I think it was 24 or 7 or something. He had twice as much because that's what he asked for. And he saw it when he left, and his mantle fell and he caught it. And somewhere in there in the Bible it reads, said when he started across the river, he couldn't cross it because the water was high. He took the mantle that he had and said, and he hit the water and said, the God of Elijah and the water opened up. See, he was busy when God called him, and he kept being busy. Anytime the prophet had something for him to do, he was there and he did it. God will call you if you think you're too busy. Don't let what you see physically start to stop you from doing what God spiritually have on your mind. God will call you, but he'll call you if you're already busy doing something. If you're sitting around doing nothing, you don't have to worry about God calling you. Jesus, when he was looking for his disciples, he called Peter when Peter was busy fishing. Mm-hmm. Some of you think that you don't have anything to do. No, you don't want something to do. The devil will call you when you're not doing anything. When you're sitting around the house and don't have anything to do and ain't nothing, you got the remote in your hand. You get to surfing the channels. And you surf up on something that gets your attention that does not need your attention. And you sit there and you watch it. And you watch it. Or it could be something real simple. It could be Tom and Jerry. Or the Froghorn Leghorn, the rooster. It could be any of them, and they could take you away from what God would have you to do because you are out and you don't have anything. You're not busy. What's what they used to say? The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Yeah, be busy. Get doing something for God. Point number two. God called Moses when his situation was bleak. And he was in trouble. And he didn't know that he was in trouble. Let me take you back a while. In Egypt, things were bad for the nation of Israel. They had put a lot more on the nation of Israel than they could stand. Working them hard, doing the things, building the city and building the tomb for Pharaoh. See, you can only stand so much of cruel pressure. They had cruel taskmasters making things difficult for them to do. When things get to going bad, morale gets low and people just don't want to do anything. When the taskmaster is hard on them, everything was going bad. But when Joseph was there, things were going well. The Pharaoh that knew Joseph, he allowed them to do things that they were not able to do under the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Now, 40 years earlier, when Moses was there, things were going pretty well for them compared to the way they are now. Somebody will say to us, things are going well with you now, because you remember back in 1960, there were some things you could not do as a race of people. They'll say, now things are going well for you. But I stop by to tell you the taskmaster is harder today than he was yesterday. Because the world is full of sin that we never knew back in the 60s. We didn't know about all the sin that are here today because we just learned those things that were right there where you are. But now the world is coming in at you. All you got to do, you got it in your hand. You just touch this button or that button and you can get all anything that you want to. So it's different, but it's still sin. Now things were different. It wasn't the same. Moses back in that day and time had some political power because he was thought to be Pharaoh's son. But see, when God get to working in your life, when God call you, all of that stuff just not seem not to matter. It doesn't make any difference because your eyes is not on the success of people. Your eyes are on what God would have you to do. It may seem like it's okay, but it's not okay with God. See, light sometime is darkness. When everything get to looking like it's rosy and everything's looking good, you better check it out and look at the other side of it. Now all this stuff is going to leave you one day, Brother Moses, and you're not going to be able to have it at your right hand. Pharaoh had you for a short season, but God got you forever. You got to understand that when God call you, it might look like everything is going bad. It looked like it's bleak. It looked like nothing would seem to be right. fight. But if you trust in God, everything will be all right. I can imagine in my mind seeing Moses going out there, not knowing anything about it, having to learn as they call and see me finishing on the fly. I mean, you learn as you go along. Moses was learning that because he didn't know anything about it. But I just believe as his mother nursed him when she was nursing him for Pharaoh's daughter, she told him about this God that brought us down here. And he told our father Abraham that I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll come back and get you. You are my people, and I'm going to take care of you. Moses had heard all of this. And see, sometimes we forget the things that we are told when we're real young. But then the older you get and the situations get bad in your life, you remember what God, what he taught you then, where he brought you from. I didn't always have what I have right now. I tell my wife all the time, we have two children. They don't understand why we keep stuff, why we don't. As soon as you get something, you throw the other stuff away, because I remember when I didn't have, and God done bless me now, and I'm going to take care of what he give me. He blessed me, and Moses remembered this, and he had it down on the inside of. See, everything God gives you, it doesn't come right back out you. It gets down on the inside of you, and it marinates, and it grows. And when the Spirit of God grows on the inside of you, you begin to have compassion and feeling for other people, and you just care for them. Here Moses was now out here, a shepherd of sheep, didn't know that God was preparing him to lead people. God will take you and put you in an unusual place for you, but you can't see tomorrow. I can just hear, I don't know this, but in my mind, I can hear God saying, Moses, there's some sheep over here. You got to go and get them. They wandered off. They got off over here by themselves. You didn't take them over there, but you got to go get them. God's like that with you. He'll send people in your life that you didn't ask him to send them, but they come in your life and they bring stuff in your life, and you got to go get them. They think they're all right, but you got to go get them. You got to get them and shepherd them, draw them close to you. It was the sheep had something in their ear called earworms, and Moses had some oil. He'd have to take that oil and hold that sheep down and pull that oil in his ear so the oil would draw the worm out of the ear. Thank you, Lord. God take you like that sometime when you're in trouble and nobody knows you're in trouble, but God knows you're in trouble, and he takes you aside and he gets you away from everybody, and he show you yourself. He'll tell you, he'll show you the scripture. Read this scripture and you will find peace that will pass the understanding of man. God's a good God. He'll take you there. Sometimes when there's stuff coming out live, when God have called us and the situation is bleak, it'll look like we can't handle it. I can't handle it. And I say that a lot. God, I can't handle this. And I say, God, will you take care of this for me? I don't know what I'm doing. Will you handle this, God? I'm going to do what comes in my mind. But God, if I'm doing wrong, show me and stop me from doing. God, let me keep my hands off of it. Will you just work it out? If I take my hands off of it, God can work it out all right. I'm going to mess it up so many times. Lord, I thank you for just being who you are. Give us the strength to take our hands off of what you're doing in our lives. Might not understand it. Don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'm trusting in you, God. You wouldn't bring me this far to leave me by myself. I thought about Brother Moses when he was out there with God. The children of Israel were hard-headed and had been doing wrong. And Moses had a conversation with God, and he was talking with God. This is after this, y'all. When he was out there in the wilderness, he was talking with God. God has said, I'm not going with them. They're a bunch of hard-headed, stiff-necked people.
maybe not in those terms, but he wasn't going with them. And Moses said, God, these are not my people. They're your people, God. And if you don't do what you said you could do for, then everybody going to think that you're not God. And God, see, sometimes you got to rehearse back to God what God told you in his word. You have to know God's word.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And Moses hadn't been to seminary. He just knew God. And that's what you got to do. You got to just know that you know that you know that you know that God is on your side, because you're on his side. God's on the side of right.
All right.
And Moses told God, God wants to deliver you. It's a delight for God to bless you. He want to bless you. But I got to get myself in position so he can bless me. Oh, I got to give up my stuff. The stuff that I think is important. I got to give it up. What's that one line? Lord, I surrender all. Give it all to him. God, I can't do this. You have to help me. Moses was at a place where he could not do what God had in his life for him to do. But he was willing to try. Sometime on your darkest day, God can shine a bright light in it. And just a little bit of light from God is a whole lot of light. But you got to be willing to receive that light and allow him to come into your life. And when you do that, God will bless you and he'll come into your life. On your darkest day, when everything seemed bleak and wrong, God will make a way somehow. When it seems impossible, God will make a way somehow. Then point number three. God called Moses when his previous efforts have been barren or did not work. God called Moses when what he did before did not work. You remember me telling you about Moses killing the Egyptian? That was Moses' effort to free the Israelites. But Moses' effort was only going to free them one at a time. But when God, when God get to working, he won't remove all the trouble out of your life one at a time. He'll move them by the millions because he's God. And we just have to come to the realization that he can do it. Moses said, who am I that I should go? When God says you can go, says for you to go, you just pack your bag and you go. But 10 out of 10 of us will question God. God, you ought to get brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They're more qualified than I am. I don't need to do that. Somebody else can do that better than I can. I can just hear God. I didn't call him. I call you. And let me take time out right here. Calling you for God doesn't mean you're going to stand right here. This could be the farthest place where God don't want you. So many people, you can be called Miss Leela Simmons. Some of y'all remember Miss Leela Simmons? She told me, she said, Pastor, I was called to pick up paper in the church. And that's all I ever seen her do, walk around and pick up stuff in the church. That's all she wanted to do. If she saw something, she picked it up. She said, that's what I'm called to do. Most people think if God had a call on your life, you ought to stand right here. And no. And can I just tell you? Excuse my French. It ain't as good as it look. Because I've been chewing on this here for a whole week. Ain't hardly had time to look at nothing else. And soon as I get through with it, y'all walk off and leave it. I'll listen to it a couple of weeks from now, and it'll feed me again. But my point is that every one of us are called to do something different. And we could be the same thing, but it's different. And Moses was called to lead him out, but he didn't want to go. But he had tried it before. But see, when you try it, help me, Holy Ghost, and God's not in it, it won't work. It won't work. He tried before and he failed because he was trying to do it Moses' way. You can't do what God has for you to do your way. You got to do it his way. God's timing into what God wants you to do and God's power into what he wants you to do will go a whole lot farther than you and your power and your timing. Our timing can be way out of line with God. And you don't you one time think that you have the power that God has. Because he has all power. And you don't have any power unless he gives you power from him. So you don't have any power. That's the difference between Moses trying and God called. When God called Moses to do what he was going to do, what he said, everything was going to go right. Because God. Yeah, he is the creator and the maker of all things. Moses, in his life before he got into Midian, he had lived a high and a mighty life. All Moses had to do was just say something, and it would happen. All he had to do was want something, and it was there. But here he is now, whole lot older, and don't have any of the stuff that he used to have. Now, being called to do something that's more higher and mightier than he ever. Here, God had taken him from a high place and put him at a low place. But then really, he had taken him from a low place and put him at a high place. Now, to see the last one, you got to leave the flesh and come to the spirit. He was low over here because God wasn't with him in what he was doing. When God get into what you are doing, you are exalted. You are higher than you ever could have thought that you would be because God is not a God of small things. He is a God of great and mighty things. So therefore, if you're doing what God would have you to do, things will go well. Moses. Now, over here was high and mighty. But when God gets you, you get low and humble. You do not try to exalt yourself. Because God, if I be exalted, then God can't be exalted. If God is exalted, then I'm going to be low. I said this. Anybody that want to be pastor can be pastor. But not just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. You got to be at Wednesday morning at 3:30. Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. You got to be at all those other times. You got to have that phone hung on your side like I have it on mine, just waiting on it to ring. But see, that goes with it. And I know some of you could do it properly. You could do it better than I do, especially answering the phone, because it's hard for me to answer sometimes. And all I got to do is flip it out, but I can't get to it. But with God, all things are possible. And Moses was used to living a high and mighty life. And here God takes him from being in the king's house, putting him to being in the sheep cove. And in the sheep cove is where he called him. When he was shepherding sheep. And sometimes God takes all your confidence away from you. Moses had none. He was at a low place. Knew he was a Hebrew. But here he is out here in a foreign land with two children and a wife and doesn't have anything, just being a shepherd for his dad-in-law. And see this bush burning. And he goes and he answers, and a bush talked to him. That's enough to run right there. The bush talked to him. But it wasn't the bush. It was the creator of the bush. See, God can talk to you in some weird ways. I told y'all about that one Sunday. I was preaching over there in another sanctuary, and I heard somebody call me, and I turn around like this, and I can tell you right where I was standing, on the right side over there, right down where the deacon's corner is, standing right there, and there's a microphone right up there. And I heard somebody say, "D with me," and I turned just like that. And y'all, I just kept right on preaching, and nobody knew why I turned, but I heard somebody call me. No, and nobody else heard that because they didn't say anything. But I knew what it was. I was teaching the word of God. And God, to me, God was letting me know, you stay right where you are. I wanted to quit. But I couldn't quit because I heard him. And when you hear God, it makes a difference in your life. No matter what nobody else say or what they do, when you hear God and you know you've heard God, you want to do what thus saith the Lord. If nobody would have shown up here this morning but me, I would be preaching right now just like I am, because God called me. When you answer the call, you're going to do what he said. Because, yeah, I'm scared of God. I got a reverential fear of God. Because I know where he brought me from, and I know if I wouldn't have been doing what he had called me to do, he wouldn't have brought me where he brought me from. And I don't want to go back. God, when he calls you, he takes everything away from you except what he needs to be left in you. And then when he opens you up and pours his word in you, you have so much to say that seem to not be enough time, but you say what thus saith the Lord. And when you do what God says for you to do, you don't have to see the end, because you're trusting the one that sees the end from the beginning. We just see right now, it's about 16 minutes to one. That's all we can see. We can't see 15 minutes to one. But God already have. Everything with him is now. Now. That's why it says now is the time for all men to come to Christ. Now. Don't wait. Because if you wait, you may be too late. God is what man need for all occasions. Moses in the desert needed God. God was leading him in the desert, and he led him to the right place where he could see that bush burning. When he turned aside, yeah, God said, "I got it." Uh-huh. He was leading, and the bush didn't burn up, and he turned aside to see why the bush wasn't burning. My question to you today, that you don't need to answer to me, what was your bush that was burning, that was not consumed, that you turn aside to see what it was, and God got you? God got you. I don't believe that when Moses left there from talking to God, he himself had fully surrendered to God. He could have, but sometimes it takes time for something to register in our mind for us to allow God to use us the way he wants to use us. It took him 40 years to get to that point where God would show him that burning bush. It took another 40 years for God to get him to the place where he would lead those people to where he told him to. He told him in this passage here, he said, when you bring them out, you'll bring them back to this mountain to serve me. In this passage of scripture, I think it's one of the first places that God called the nation of Israel my people. And I think somebody told me my is a possessive pronoun, meaning the same as a noun, meaning he showed ownership of them. He called them my people. They wasn't the Egyptians' people. They were his people. You will go down and bring my people out, and you will bring them back to this mountain to worship me. God got something for each one of us to do, but we need to be willing to surrender to him and allow him to use us for what he needs for us to do. You might not agree with it when you see it from the beginning, but if you stay with him,
you will know that this is where you need to be. Moses was the leader or the deliverer of the nation of Israel. They went down into Egypt with 70-something people. They come out with better than 2.5 million people. God hid them in there, and Moses was the one that brought them out. One of their own brought them out. God saw fit for Moses to be a shadow of a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to lead us back to the Father, all of those that were willing to follow him. Some people are not willing to follow Jesus Christ, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. If we do not receive him, if we do not answer the call that Christ have on our life, we're saying we're rejecting his son. And if you reject his son, you have no part of him. This gospel is for those that will believe. And you have to believe if you want to answer the call. You can't answer it if you're not willing to give up something. And the something is a three-letter word. Sin. You have to be willing to give it up. And I know most of y'all have never sinned, so you don't know what you're missing, but you don't need to know. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. Make you pay more than you're willing to pay. And keep you longer than you want to stay. So we need to walk away from sin. Answer the call that God have on your life. And there is a call on every life. We just need to answer the call. We just need to answer the call. I'm through. I think. Let me look at my last page. I just got two little lines on this page. Let me tell you what they are. Sister Linda went and got comfortable again because she thinks she know me. God only call those that are weak. God only call those that are weak and those that have failed. And there's not a one of us in here, unless it's that little baby right there, that haven't failed and are not weak. Because all of us have sinned, and we are weak, and we fail. And though we are the ones that he called. But now, he's doing the calling. The other half of that is I have to answer. I have to answer. He called, and I answer. Now, the next thing is that when the call goes out, you need to respond to the call. And I said earlier, don't wait. Now is the time. Because he's calling. And some of us realize that he's calling because we're in one or two films every week. I'm through. I've told this story before, but this fits with this message. And I'm gonna try to be obedient, and you're gonna have to help me. In stories, inanimate objects talk, and they have feelings as we have. There was this slave. His job was to keep the trough filled with water so the animals could drink. He had a yoke that fit around his neck, and it had two containers, one on each side. Now, this is where you're going to have to help me. The container on the left side, let's say it's a 5-gallon bucket, 2 5-gallon buckets, one on each side. The one on the left side, about halfway up, has two holes in it. The one on the right-hand side, the way I am now, does not have holes in it. This is the trough up here. The lake is down here. So I'm down here. I fill them up, and I turn around, and I walk back.
I get to the trough, I empty both buckets out. The one on the right side is full, I empty it out. The one on the left side is half full, I empty it out. And turn around and start back. The bucket on the left starts murmuring. So what are you murmuring about? I didn't have a bucket full of water. I fill them up again. Turn around. Go back down here again to the trough. Empty the bucket on my right side is full. The one on the left side still three quarters full. And I empty it in here. He mumps, still mumbling. Ain't that the way we are? We're always mumbling and grumbling about something. Going back. Fill them up again. Come back. One on the left side is talking. Why, when I get back down here, I'm always just three quarters full? The master going to take and throw me away. He empties them again. He empties them again. Turn around. I wish I could stay full when you fill me up. So he filled them up, going back down, still murmuring, empties them out. When he empties them out this time and he turns around, he tells the, so just wait, you'll get it by and by. Go down, fill them up again. Fill them up again down here this time. He tells the cup on the left, so now as we going back, so just look down at the ground. Walking back, he looked down at the ground. He said, where those flowers come from? He said, them some pretty flowers. He empties them out. Empties them out. Turns around and go back. When he gets on this side, walking back, he said, look down now. He said, I don't see any flowers over here. I said, why there's no flowers over here? He fills up the thing, turn around again, start walking back. He said, these are some pretty flowers over here on this side. When they get back down here at the thing, he said, oh. So that's why I'm three quarters full. Said, God put something in me, and I didn't keep it all to myself. I gave it to somebody else. The cup, the thing on the right side was always full. He had what God had given him down here at the lake, but he never did share it with anybody. Whatever God puts in you, don't try to go to your grave with it in you. I think it was Zig Ziglar, or one of those motivational guys, said most people die with 90% of what God put in them. They only use 10% of it. Use the whole thing, whatever God put in you, to help somebody else. Don't try to keep it to yourself. With that, we'll extend an invitation. Because Christ didn't keep what he had to himself.